He even licked my hands and didn't want to leave me. He showed his great joy at having found me, jumped away a little and came back to me, circled around me and showed his joy. Then I thought, yes, this Nero is dead. That isn't the Nero who is alive now, that isn't the same dog. This one is the old Nero. I knew him well, and he knew me. Well, in my desperation I said to him, now listen, finally lead me out of this forest. Lead me home, you know the way, lead me away from here. And Nero seemed to understand that. He walked ahead of me and I followed him. We had to cover a long stretch of the way before it started to get a little lighter, and I had the feeling that we were soon reaching the end of the forest. So we came to the end of the forest. Nero walked further with me. There were now large fields in front of us. But they seemed a little desolate to me and completely foreign to me. It was an unknown country for me. But I felt a little safer now. Nero was with me and he was supposed to lead me. He kept going forward and I followed him. So we came to a pasture or an enclosure and I noticed that there were countless dogs in it. This enclosure was quite large. Nero was still standing next to me, but then he left me and went into the other dogs. Yes, on the one hand I was just amazed and on the other hand I asked myself, where am I actually? I couldn't remember ever having seen a kennel with so many animals. This wasn't a kennel in the usual sense, it was a large area, just surrounded by a hedge. Though these animals were together, and they were peaceful together, they were playing with each other and doing what dogs do. So I stood there and thought. A little way away from me I saw two beings, that's what I have to call them today, but at the time they were people to me, because they looked like people. They also seemed to enjoy these animals and admire them. So I spoke to them. But I was a little unsure, and my uncertainty was evident. These two, who were standing there admiring the animals, said to me, "It is wonderful to see and know that they are alive." "Yes, that they are alive," I repeated after them, and what they were saying together was actually strange to me. "It is a satisfaction and a joy to know that they are alive." I didn't know what else to say. "Yes, it is nice that they are alive. It is nice." And then they asked me, "Do you have anyone here that you know?" "Yes, of course, he fetched me from the forest," I said to them. "I had strayed from the path and so I called him and he fetched me and brought me here." "Ah," they said, somewhat surprised, "then you haven't been here long?" "No," I replied, "it's all strange to me, but perhaps you can tell me where I am. What is the name of this country, this village? What is it called? Where am I?" "I have no idea," I said this half desperately. The two of them could see how uncertain and uneasy I was. Then one of them said, "Don't you know that you've died?" "Died? Impossible," I replied. "I can't possibly have died. I'm still alive." Then they laughed. "Yes, your body died. You left it behind for the world. But you had an immortal soul in your body. The soul is immortal after all. The soul also has a body, a spiritual body, because you are in the spiritual world." "In the spiritual world? Strange. Do you live like a human being?" "Oh yes," they said, "you see, you can talk, you can think, reflect, call out, you can scream, cry, laugh. You see, that's it. The immortal soul carries so much power within itself and brings back everything that was present in human life. You have freed yourself from the earthly, perishable body that clothed the soul. But now you have your spiritual body and you are alive." Then I said, "But I am a complete stranger here, and I am surprised that there are not more such spiritual beings here." Then they said, "Oh yes, there are many here. You will probably meet them. Perhaps not exactly where you are standing now, but if you go a little further, you will meet them. You will find a busy and varied life and activity here, similar to that of humans. Only here one is under a higher rule. Here it is not humans who command, here it is God and those who are on God's behalf and carry out his orders." They had spoken of God, and I thought about it and asked, "You are talking about God. Is the God here? Have you seen God?" "Oh no, They answered, "We have not seen God. We still have a long way to go to him, but we are on the way to him. And so it will happen to you too. Before you come to God, you will meet many other high and exalted spirits, to whom you must obey, for they are the ones who will then rule over you, guide you and decide over you." Of course, I wanted to know more. What happens to those who did not believe in God during their earthly life? They answered, "Yes, that is one of the worst things if you did not believe in God. Then you will have a hard time getting close to him. You'll still have a long way to go," they said somewhat dismissively, acting as if they were no longer particularly interested in me. And so they said goodbye and said, "You just go along this path here now, and then someone will look after you at some point." So they no longer felt the need to continue talking to me. What a pity, I thought. Now I've found someone who could have looked after me. Because I didn't dare to speak to each one of them straight away. In addition, I was becoming more and more afraid. I started to think. I looked at all these animals for a while and thought about the sentence, "It's a joy to know that they're alive." Then I thought to myself, "Isn't it also a joy to know that you're still alive? If these animals are alive and so am I, then there's nothing that can be dead. Once it's been filled with life, everything, lives on, in a world that is called the invisible world, which is only invisible to people. So there is a world where God lives and where he rules." So I thought, then I have neglected a lot in my life. What can I do to look a little better? I looked at my appearance as best I could. I didn't feel as well dressed as I had been when I was alive. I was no longer in pain, I felt light and comfortable, but I was wearing shoes that I had never worn in my life. Then I thought, where did these shoes come from? These shoes look like a beggar's. I must be ashamed to walk around here in such shoes. Only now did I notice. Up to this point I had not had time to look at myself and think about how I looked. I was too preoccupied with the question of where I was, because I still felt like I was in a dream. Now I was sure that everything I saw was reality. I looked at the shoes properly. The soles were worn through and the upper leather had holes in it too, so these shoes did not look good at all. I did not like them, and so I immediately tried to take them off. I thought, I would rather go barefoot than in such shoes. But strangely enough, I could not get them off. It was as if they were sticking to my feet. I could not take them off. I sat down and spent a long time trying to get these shoes off. It just didn't work. A strange world, I thought. I am alive, here with shoes that I have never seen or worn in my life. I should be ashamed. Then I looked at myself further and saw what else I looked like. I was wearing a skirt made of the coarsest material possible, and the shape was probably impossible. I didn't know what my face looked like. I had no mirror, I couldn't see myself. But I saw that I wasn't in a particularly good state. And I was actually surprised that the two who had spoken to me had paid any attention to me, because they were much better dressed than I was. But then I also thought, that's why they left so quickly, because they don't want to have anything to do with me, because I really didn't look particularly good. I thought, should I go on now? Now my true attitude is showing, everyone can see who you were in life. Now it was clear to me, it wasn't about the fine clothes you had in life that mattered. No. It was about something I didn't have, faith. But I had also done good things. I hadn't despised people, I tried to help them too, and I loved truth and justice. That was something that could speak for me, I thought. And I thought, perhaps I can still get rid of them, my shoes, perhaps it is true that you can buy something else here. But I was penniless, I had nothing, not even any companions, I was completely on my own. What should I do now? Should I retreat into the forest? Should I call to my dog A.A. again and stay in the forest for a while? Perhaps someone will come who will take pity on me. Should I go into the forest and try to ask the God I had never known in life to help me? May he stand by me and help me? Or should I stand by what I have stood for in life? Should I admit everywhere that I lived without faith and laughed at people when they talked about God and faith and religion? What should I do? I thought about it. And so I thought to myself, there is nothing else, you must stand by what you were. Only the truth can help you move forward. So I will go as I am. I will no longer make an effort to take off my shoes, I cannot take off my clothes either. So I stand by it, I was a sinner, I was a poor person who came to eternity and who was blinded by the world and could not believe what was being proclaimed. So I must stand by it, that was my thought. So I wandered off and met other spirit beings. Now it was clear to me. They were all spirits like me. Some were better dressed than I was, others didn't look much better, and so I felt I had nothing to be ashamed of. But sometimes I saw people who were well dressed, and I wondered if I should approach one of them. But I thought, not right away, I have to deal with myself first. When I came to this village, I also had the opportunity to withdraw a little. There was also a small garden. It didn't look particularly well kept or beautiful, there were bushes and flowers, but they seemed to be wilted, dead. But I could hide in this garden for a while. There were bushes, and I got down on my knees there and wanted to deal with myself, to talk to myself. That's how I imagined my past life, how it had been. I had done good things, but it seemed to me that this didn't count for much here, otherwise I wouldn't be in this state. I thought, I have caused people pain because I laughed at them, humiliated them, they believed. How to envy them? Those who could believe without seeing, who could simply believe, how to envy them? Well, what should I do? Can I now ask God to have mercy on me and forgive me for never having believed in Him? I wanted to try. They spoke of a merciful God, and this world must have someone who shows mercy, I thought. Because if there is eternal life, then there must also be a good God, there must be a God who is interested in eternity. There must be a God who takes pleasure in beauty and who takes pleasure in love, mercy and justice. If there is an immortal soul and a God, then this immortal soul must enter into the bliss of the Godhead, that must be possible. So I will try. And I began to ask and pray. Yes, at first I only did it with my thoughts, I could think like a human being. I silently asked God to forgive me. I asked Him impose a punishment on me, I would accept it, because I wanted to believe in Him too and whatever the future might bring me, I would never be an unbeliever again. That was my promise to myself. So I began to pray, you kind and merciful God, who exists, who lives, who works, who has mercy on the poor, have mercy on me too, listen to me and send someone to me who will take me into His house, who lives with me, with whom I can live in peace. Make it possible for me to live in peace here. Give me a task, I will do anything. That's what I thought, and it was still so quiet around me. I was already satisfied that at least it wasn't dark. When I left the forest, it had become lighter and it remained blue, it didn't get dark, it didn't get night. But I had no one, I was abandoned. And it was clear to me, if you deny God in life and leave Him, you are also abandoned by Him, you don't immediately find a loving welcome, that can't be possible. But I want to ask, I did this in my mind at first. But when it remained quiet around me, I began to call out. I wanted everyone to hear it, I didn't want to keep any secrets. I called out everything I could and knew, what I had done wrong and what friends and acquaintances I had offended. I asked them as a spirit, forgive me, forgive me. When you return to eternity, I will serve you. You may ask everything of me, I will do it, but God should forgive me for not being able to believe in Him. How long I knelt and cried I did not know, I did not know time. And so I prayed in my own way, admitting what I had done wrong. I was willing to do better and submit to everything, whatever might happen. But it seemed to me as if I would be left alone forever, it seemed so. I was very upset about it. And I had the impression that I deserved to look the way I did. When I was so deeply contrite, salvation came. Someone touched my shoulders, very gently, and said to me, Paula, get up and follow me. I stood up and asked, may I give you the things so that you can lead me? Because I was afraid that I would be left alone again. just as the other two had said goodbye. This being was ready to give me its hand. It took my hand and I held on to its own so that I would not be left alone again. The being seemed very distinguished. It was dressed so distinguished. I followed and I didn't know where to turn my thoughts. I asked myself, is that an angel? Who could it be? Has God heard me? Has he sent me someone? How is that possible? And yet a joy came over me. It seemed as if this being could read my silent thoughts. It asked me, just be calm, be completely calm and full of confidence. The world you have entered is a world of justice. But it is also a world full of love and full of mercy. How good these words did me. I didn't look left or right, I didn't want to see where I was being led, I felt safe, led by this being. So we suddenly stood in front of a house and the being asked me to come in. The house seemed to be of simple construction, but there was a garden around it in which the flowers did not wilt. There were also bushes and trees. I saw birds, they flew around and sang. And I suddenly liked the world. On the way here, I had the feeling that the surroundings had become more and more worldly, and yet it was not the world, but it became more and more beautiful, and I felt more and more secure. We went into the house. Everything was simple, but very well kept. Everything was permeated by a strange light. I did not know where this light came from. It seemed to me that it was coming from the walls of the house, from the ceiling. There was simply light there. I thought to myself, in accordance with my still human way of thinking, that it was artificial lighting, and yet it could not be like that. And I thought, this world must be completely different. Impossible things are possible here. Inside the house it was so beautiful that one would not have expected it to be from outside. From the outside it was simple to look at, and it was simple inside too, but the light created a special atmosphere, a warmth. That helped me to feel relieved. There I was standing in a room with this being. It had a table, a large book on it, and there were chairs around the table. Then I saw them, these angels of God. Now it became clear to me, they are angels of God. And how I felt in my worn, coarse clothes and my shoes with holes in them. They could see who I was. They didn't have to leaf through the book and search for long. I wanted to tell them that. But I couldn't. Now I noticed that these beings who were there and had been waiting for me didn't seem to have such a stern face. They were serious, but I had the feeling that a certain kindness and sweetness radiated from them. But I was still desperate, unsure of myself, standing there in front of so many sublime and shining angels of God. I didn't know what else to do. I fell to my knees and began to cry. Then someone lifted me up and said, you don't need to cry here. If only you had cried in your world about your unbelief. You don't need to cry here. Sit down, we want to talk to you. Yes, they wanted to talk to me, that scared me. What do they have to ask me? What do they want to talk to me about? I thought. They can see who is standing in front of them. Then one of them spoke up and said, why couldn't you believe? Wasn't the world you lived in beautiful? Couldn't you believe that there was also a master who created the things you benefited from? Have you never considered that there must be a master for everything and that there must also be a master for the world as it was created, with everything that lives and thrives in it? Oh yes, I replied, everything is clear to me. You see, there is a great sinner standing before you. I have realized what I did wrong. I will never be an unbeliever again. And one of them said, you never want to be an unbeliever again? I looked at him in astonishment, because I was really serious. I noticed that they looked at each other questioningly, as if to say, she never wants to be an unbeliever again, do you believe that? Or so it seemed to me. But another said, she is full of goodwill. Alas, she has stumbled over her unbelief. What could she have achieved? She had a good heart and a good will. She loved people and had done a lot of good. Of course she hurt people because she laughed at them because of their faith. This did not make her a shining example for those around her. If she had believed, if she had had an inner piety, a piety of heart and soul, what an impression that would have made on those around her and how many would have been strengthened in their faith through her. Yes, it is a piety, much has been left undone. I said, I admit everything, because it had become clear to me that I had gone down the wrong path. So they were actually much friendlier to me than I had expected. They spoke together about my life, and one of them took the book and leafed through it. But he did this only in passing, as if he had read it all long ago. He said, I don't really need to look into this book of life, because you are carrying the truth on you. Of course, I looked down at myself, ashamed. And one of these angels said, it can soon get better. You can get rid of your shoes if you want to. He acted as if he had seen it or knew that I would like to get rid of them, these shoes. Yes, the other said to me, you can get rid of them, and you can also change your clothes. But first you must be purified a little more. You have judged yourself. We have seen and heard that, and we are pleased that you are serious. That is why we are taking care of you, too, for it could have happened that only an angel of God would stand beside you and inflict punishment on you. And look, there are seven of us standing before you and talking to you. Look at us. Yes, I looked at them. They were all so beautiful. They were dressed as I had seen them in the hours of departure from this world, when I had thought I was in the theater. They wore these flowing clothes. These beings had actually been with me then, I was not mistaken if they were not even the same ones who were sitting in front of me now. They did not respond to these thoughts, but said, we want to move forward with you. You now have a time of purification ahead of you, and you should now go into solitude. The you should learn to pray and rethink your life. You should choose a job and we will tell you what you can do. You can choose one or the other, and you should think about it, because good must come from your work. Now you can prove that you are of good will and you can prove that you want to keep your faith. Oh yes, added one of them, let's tell her right away. She should just focus on one thing. When the purification is over, she can go to people accompanied by another spirit and try to influence people's thinking and guide them to higher thinking. He explained that this was not so easy, because people have all kinds of thoughts and it is not so easy to take control of people's thoughts. So it is a matter of directing people's thinking to higher things. One should also try to put good words into their mouths. I should try to help in this way. But I must also take up the fight with the others, because I would not be alone with these people and would not simply become master in my efforts to lead them to good. Because where the good spirits are, there are also those others who want to lead people to evil. And so there is a need for struggle. One must try to prevent evil. It is a matter of winning people over to the higher life, of influencing and inspiring them and leading them so that they do good, so that they can pray and align themselves with God's laws. One must always admonish people when it becomes necessary. But one must also be a comforter to them. One should take up residence with people and thus work for God. These were beautiful words that were spoken. I wanted to do that and I said, I am going into purification, then call me if you like, I will come, I will fulfill my task. Oh, that's good. And then a servant came, I must say, and accompanied me out of this house. I had said goodbye to the angels of God. I was a little dazed and let this simply dressed servant lead me into purification. I was led into a room and there I experienced the twilight again, like back then in the forest. But that couldn't be bad for me, my thoughts and my will were set. And so I wanted to wait. Then the time came when I was picked up and led to the tasks. But when I left this room of solitude, I would like to say this, a being stood there and offered me other clothes. Now I could easily take my shoes off my feet. Yes, it was as if they fell off of their own accord, and I put on good, beautiful shoes. I was also given a decent dress, and I was happy with it. It was simple, but I had the feeling that it was beautiful for me. And then they said to me, you can earn more later. These are not your last clothes and your last shoes. You must climb up, move forward step by step and find the way to God. You still have a long way to go. And you must prove what you promised, that you always want to believe. Later they explained to me what was meant by the fact that I had to prove this. I was to prove this faith in a new human life. But I was taken in by the angels of heaven and I fulfill my task as I am commanded. I take up the fight with those spirit beings among people who do not want to take the higher path, who are still far from God. I do everything for God, for the Holy Spirit world and for the King of God's spirit world. I have been taught all of this. And so I am in the service of God and my services can also be performed for you. So, dear brothers and sisters, I say goodbye to you and ask you, direct your thoughts upwards and let yourself be guided so that when you enter the spiritual world you can be shown a beautiful world and that you do not end up like me and are initially surrounded by twilight. Let yourselves be embraced by your acquaintances, by those who have passed away, by those spirit beings who look after you in life. May God's blessing fill you and accompany you. Greetings from God. Experience report of the ascending spirit being Paula by mediator Beatrice Brunner in the hall on Mar 1 Quartington Stress, Direct.Original, tape recording. In addition to the experience reports of ascending spirit beings, Beatrice Brunner, 1910-1983, gave over 2,000 lectures in deep trance in the 35 years of her work. They were given by two teachers from the otherworldly world who taught the listeners the Christian spiritual teachings. In their lectures, these two spirits of God, named Joseph and Len, gave comprehensive instruction in the teachings of Christ, about God's creation and the origin and meaning of all life. These lectures are published by G.L. Lurich in various book series and in the magazine Geistige Welt, which has been published since 1948. The speeches, each lasting around an hour, preserved on video and tape, are played in a teaching facility specially built for this purpose, a hall with 500 seats, in Lurich. Further information about the literature and events of G.L. Lurich can be found on their website www.glz.org. G.L.Z.O.Erich, Letzigroben 117 ch. 8047 Lurich. www.glz.org. Content. Foreword. Introduction. Richard escaped spiritual poverty through ambition and hard work. Catherine died in an accident on a main road. The deeper causes of an addiction. A couple and their great love for the child left behind on earth. Herman received intensive instruction on the love of God. Elizabeth, the kind and cheerful mother of 11 children. Adelaide, how to acquire property in the kingdom of heaven. Bella received a poor Sicilian shepherd in the afterlife. Ferdinand, the pitfalls of a comfortable, spoiled life. Elizabeth was won over to spiritual belief by her school friend. Laura, everyone will be caught up in God's order one day. Otto, the awakening of an eccentric in the afterlife and his experiences with earthbound deceased. Anastasia was once a duchess, then a beggar. Innocently convicted of the consequences of a great injustice. Rissy, a fortune teller who did not take the truth too seriously. Elizabeth and Jacob are closely connected through the bond of spiritual kinship. Heavenly training for beings with the most simple thinking and modest disposition. Paula, a viable belief in God is of great importance. The end.